In all of our living, the goal should be to glorify Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I desire that you would be in control. I pray, dear Father, that you would be the one to work in our hearts and minds and bring us to conform, dear Father, to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is the theme verse for this message. For you are bought with a price, therefore, because Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for your sins, you're bought with a price. Because of that, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. So it both the inward and the outward man need to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It's not enough to say, well, God knows my heart. That's true. He does know the heart. And when an individual typically uses that phrase because they've been caught saying or doing something they shouldn't, living in a way they shouldn't, the outward, okay, then they want to say, oh, well, God knows my heart. And I would say to that, indeed, he does, hypocrite. You can't live one way and claim another thing by that's supposedly controlling your life. Now let's look at some other scriptures. We're in 1 Corinthians. Let's go to chapter 10 and to verse 31. Chapter 10 and verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever you do. Now the context shows us why he's talking about the eating, the drinking. Wherefore, whether ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. It should all be for the glory of God. The second book of Paul to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. All the promises that God gives us, and all the promises that are to work in our life, it's all to be to the glory of God by us, or through us. And so the glory of God is the goal. Same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We've been given the scriptures. We've been given the instructions by the Spirit of God so that we can see the glory that God is to get and the glory that is of God. Verse 15, same book, chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many. All of the things that God brings, all of the things that God uses, and by his grace, okay, it's through the thanksgiving of many to redound, to end up to the glory of God and to bring glory to God. As we read through the scriptures, the next one is 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. All things that we do, serving the Lord, giving God praise, it's all to be so that God can be glorified. As you read through the scriptures, you will over and over again read how God's intention is that we would bring him glory. You know, we soon get the idea that glorifying God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the goal of scriptures, and it should be our goal as well. Now, I looked and I thought, well, now we know we should bring God glory, we should bring him honor, but what does glorify mean? And so I went to look and to define it, and the definition is to bestow honor, to praise, to give admiration, to extol. When we say that we glorify God by how we live, then what we say we're doing is honoring him. We're giving him admiration. He is worthy of our glorifying him. He's worthy of our admiration. And to glorify means to give glory. Now, that's a basic one, but I put it in the context of worship. We're to be glorifying God. This is not about us. When we sing a song that says what God has done for us, that tells how we feel, it is all for the purpose of glorifying him, showing what he has done. In the Bible, the term glorify is applied differently. It's applied to things or to objects that we are to glorify. Men are to receive glory. And of course, the ultimate is God, divine glorifying of God. And when we read, we can read of the Messianic Kingdom. And again, there's much glorifying of God that takes place there. Amen. I want you to look at some Old Testament reference. We've been looking at New Testament ones. If you'll turn to the book of Haggai, that's one of those minor prophets near the end of the Bible, Habakkuk, okay? And then after Habakkuk is Haggai. And then we got Zephaniah. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and then Haggai. And if you get as far as Zechariah, you missed Haggai, okay? And if you're at the very last one, Malachi, then you definitely missed it, okay? So hopefully you found it by now. But let me read from Haggai chapter 1. And I want to read verse 7 and 8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now that's a term that's been used to preach many a good message when God tells us to consider our ways. Verse 8. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and it will take, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Go up into the mountains, get some wood. What does that sound like? That sound like guys going to do a little bit of logging, huh? You know, you're going to build a house. You're not going to do it by picking up branches and twigs. If you're talking about building a fire, maybe that. So he's taking up there some axes. And whatever else they had, I don't know if they had saws at this point in time, but whatever they used to get lumber, that's what's happening here. There's a whole lot that takes place from when he says, go up into the mountains and bring wood. There's a lot of time that goes by because it takes time, especially they didn't have chainsaws. Okay, they had all manual work. And go up to the mountains, bring wood, and build the house. I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Psalm 22, the book of Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 22. In Psalm 22 and verse 23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye seed of Israel. Israel is to glorify God. And he says, fear him. There needs to be an understanding that when we fail to glorify God, there can be a consequence that happens to us. Because we could have glorified God with our way of living. We could have glorified God by the way that we talk. We could have glorified God by our service to the Lord. But we failed to do that. And he says we ought to fear him. There come a judgment for not doing what we should do and could do. All right. But here, again, the reference is for Israel to glorify God. Still in Psalms, we're going to go to 50. Psalm 50 and verse 15. He says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So you're in a time of trouble, call upon God. Now, it is important that we are living the way we ought to be living, that we are committed to Christ, we're dedicated to Christ, we're serving Christ. And then when a time of trouble comes, we're to call on the Lord. I don't think this will apply to some backslidden Christian. Somebody that's gotten saved and for whatever reasons they've gotten away from God. It's very possible they don't even go to church anymore. And then, you know, call upon me in a day of trouble and I'll deliver thee. I believe that's given to the person who's living for the Lord. Now, please, doesn't mean that if a backslider who's in trouble turns to and is reading the Bible and reads that God wouldn't be able or would not work in his life so that he could glorify God, but some repentance is going to come in place along the way. God isn't man's lackey. He's not just there to do what we want when we want it. We have got to follow his rule. We've got to follow his way. And when we conform to that, then we can claim all these wonderful promises. All right, we're still in Psalm 86. We're looking at some Old Testament references to glorifying God. And those of you who know your Bible know for sure that we're just scratching the surface. Psalm 86, verse 9. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Oh, that's going to be a wonderful time, okay? When all nations are going to come and glorify the name of God. When every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That's going to be a wonderful time. He'll get his glory out of our individual life too. And it may, because of our resistance, it may cause him to bring chastisement on us. And then when we finally yield and confess our wrong and accept Jesus Christ's way, then, my friend, is when we'll be able to give glory to God. Then we'll want to give glory to God. Because by this time we see how wrong we were, how right he was, and the benefit of doing it God's way. So we're in Psalm 86. We read verse 9. Now look at verse 12. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. Now you see, in our way of thinking, he could have stopped halfway through. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I mean, that says it right there. We're to praise him with all of our heart. But God goes on, and he has the psalmist write, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. So it's not just enough that we would praise God with all our heart, but that praise needs to involve honoring him, extolling him, okay? So, and Gentiles are to glorify God, the same as the Jews are. Now, let me deal with this question. On what basis should Christians glorify God? What's the basis that would prompt us to glorify God? Well, first of all, it's a reasonable service. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we're told to bring and make reasonable service to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's a reasonable thing to bring honor and glory to God. So that's one basis for it. A second basis is that God has a natural right over us as our creator and our providential provider. God created us. That alone can cause us to glorify him. And then he has provides for us in so many, many ways. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God, which you have of God, and you're not your own? Then our text verse, wherefore glorify God in your body and in your soul, which are God's. And then the third basis for why we ought to glorify God is as Redeemer. He has bought us with his blood. He has paid the price for us. And the claim of the purchase is added to the claim of creation. So as our creator, and then if you please, as our re-creator, our redeemer, we are to glorify him. And that's so important for us to know. Now, let me look. We just looked at what the basis is that we should glorify God. Why should I glorify God? Well, I just gave you three reasons. Reasonable service, God's natural right as our creator, and then as our redeemer. But what about motives? That's the basis, is that's the why we should. But what about our motives? What motives should Christians have in glorifying God? The first one is from the motive of remembering. That should be a motive when we remember that we are sinners saved by grace. We have become, in Christ, a child of God. When you look back on what your life was, how you did live. You say, I grew up in a Christian home, went to church all my life, and I wasn't a big bad sinner. Yeah, but you weren't perfect either.
Yeah, amen.
And therefore, you look at what you did do, and hey, how about this one? You look at what you didn't do.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You know, we have sins of commission, things we commit, but we also have sins of omission, things that we omit doing that God told us we ought to do. And many a person that grew up in a Christian home, went to church all their life, and were not exposed, praise God, to a lot of the big bad sins of the world. They didn't do drugs. They didn't run with the wicked crowd. You say, boy, they're lucky. No, they have the same God to answer to as you do. And, you know, first of all, luck doesn't fit into this, but I understand the terminology that's being used and the intention of it. you might be the lucky one because you know what sin you've done. You know what your sins are. It smacks you in the face and in your memory almost every day. But the person that grew up what's our term? Little goody two shoes, huh? And he or she doesn't maybe realize that they are a sinner needing salvation. I've heard such people say, well, I've never done anything that bad. Ah, there's the key word, that bad. They were bad, it's just they weren't as bad as yours. But you know, they're not going to stand before God for your sins. They're going to stand before God for their sins. And when God prompted them in what they could have done and they didn't do it, that's as much disobedience as it is for the person who God says, don't do that, and they go ahead and do it anyway. Sins of omission, sins of commission. Now, I've gone into an area there that I didn't intend to, so let me get back on track. All right, so the motive of remembering, what are we? We're sinners. We're going to use that song to close with, it came to mind, only a sinner saved by grace. When we remember that, that's a motive to glorify God. And then from the motive of love and grace, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we're indebted to God for that love. And then grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift to God. Amen. So that's a motive to glorify God with our life and our living. And what we say, how we use our mouth. Then there's the motive of seeking. So we have the motive of remembering. We have the motive of love and grace. And now we have the motive of seeking. We seek true happiness and fulfillment. We seek for the purposes that this brings. Well, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 10, he tells us? I just drew a blank. I got to turn to Philippians chapter 3. And as soon as I see it, I'm going to remember it. All right, Philippians chapter 3. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's a motive, the seeking to know Christ. I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know more about his life. I want to know more about what he wants. I want to know more. Paul says that I may know him. Now, Paul was a Christian, but he said that I may know him. Amen. And so it is that we need to know him. That's a motive to glorify God. And then there's also the motive of delighting in God's commands. In the book of Psalm 37, and my Bible's still open to the Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, if you were to see my Bible there, verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and. There's a conjunction there. And do good. He doesn't just say, just do good. Okay. He said, you got to trust in the Lord. You got to be depending on him. And then you're going to dwell in the land, and he'll take care of you, verily fed. And then in verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of the heart. You're not going to get the desires of our heart. And, you know, I get so tired of using this illustration, but I guess there's a reason why I use, you know, oh, my desire is to have a nice big car. And that's not the desires he's talking about. Okay, the desires of the heart is for meaningful things and significant things. But we have got to delight ourselves in the Lord. If we're just putting up with the Christian faith, if we're just satisfied to know, well, when I die, I'm going to heaven. Praise God, it took care of that. That's not what he's talking about. We're to delight ourselves. We're to be very satisfied with the Christian life and not have this idea, well, if I wasn't a Christian, I could do this. If I wasn't a Christian, I could go there. Huh? Yeah. You say, well, nobody here has those feelings. Yeah, sure, and I believe in Santa Claus too. Because Easter Bunny told me so. And so we can believe lies about God as well. And so, let's move along here. So we looked at what the basis of glorifying God is, and that is it's a reasonable service. God has a natural right as our creator, and then thirdly, as our redeemer or recreator. And the motives that we should have is the motive of remembering we're sinners saved by grace, and from the motives of love and grace. He gave his love to us, and it came by his grace. And then the motive of seeking. We seek happiness. We seek fulfillment. That's a motive to glorify God. And then the motive of delighting in God's way. Well, how can Christians glorify God? So we come to that point. Well, how do we do it? It's a nice thing. I believe it. I want to do it. But how do we do it? What I do, walk around, glory to God, you know, all the time. No. Psalm 50. I'm still in Psalms. Psalm 50 and verse 23. Psalm 50 and verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Okay? Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Public praise should come from every believer. Public praise. Now, just giving you a little bit of time to in your mind react to that. So I hear some of you saying, well, but Pastor, I'm just not one of them people that can say amen out loud. I'm not like some people that can, you know, say, well, that's good, preacher, or preach it, you know. I'm just not like that. You don't have to be like that. That's only one form of public praising God. If you'll try to remember a message that I preached on the matter of songs and music in church, one of the things that I said is a reason why we need to be singing is because it gives people an opportunity to praise God. Many times the words of the hymn writer say what's in our heart. Or we read a hymn, and especially if it's a new one, but even if it's an old one and you begin to look at it in a little more pensively, and you think, wow, that's really how I feel. He said what I feel. Okay? And you, in song, can praise God. Let me tell you another way, and I use my favorite store because it's in this area, and I go there a lot, not this particular one, but Dollar General. Okay? I'm in Dollar General, and I can praise God. You say, well, how do you praise God in Dollar General? They're going to think you're a religious nut. Well, they might if you go about it the way a lot do. But I'm just thinking this. I get up to the checkout, and this is no longer hymn book. This is my item that I purchased. And let's say it's a big tablet, all right? And I needed a particular size. And I've looked in several stores and could not find it. And here I am in Dollar General, and I look at Dollar General, and whoa, they have the tablet I need. So I get up to the checkout, and I lay on the counter. The lady says, is there anything else? No, but I am so thankful to God. I've been looking for this exact size, and I've looked everywhere, and praise the Lord, I found it here. Praising God in public. You say, well, they're gonna think I'm a religious fanatic. Is there anything wrong with that? In the way that I just described it? I'm not talking, we didn't jam anything down a person's throat, as the saying goes. I don't believe that would be obnoxious except to the most irreligious, atheistic person. They don't want to hear anything about God, and then that's their problem. But so you see, we can praise God in public in different ways. And then secondly, we can glorify God as Christians by obedience. And this is clearly inferred in our theme verse that tells us that we are to glorify God in body and in soul. And so by obedience in the body and in the spirit, by our actions and our attitudes. I'm remembering one time when I made our son, I don't know, he may have been 10, 12 years old, but I made him go back to his room. And he went back to his room and stomped his feet all the way. It was a double wide trailer, okay? And he stomped his feet all the way back to his room. So I called his name, called him back out. I don't hope he listens to this streaming. Anyway, he came back out and I said, this time walk back, but don't be stomping. So he did. And as he went back through, he said, I'm stomping in my heart. You see, our actions and our attitudes. So you young people, remember that. When you do something that you don't want to do, but you're doing it, but all the while in your heart, you're rebelling. You may as well just do it outwardly. You say, well, I would, though. I'll get creamed for that. And, well, you should, okay? But, you know, it's not just the young people.
Come on.
Now this one hits home. I wish I could think of another illustration.
That would work.
But yeah, this one will work. You're driving down whatever road, and there's the posted speed limit. Okay, that's what I'll do. I'll just go 55. But I think it's dumb. This road easily could handle 60. Okay, see, okay, I'm going to conform. I'm going to drive 55. But in my heart, I'm rebelling. Now, why in the world couldn't I have thought of another illustration? I live with that one every day. Oh, Lord, I ought to just quit the message right now. We need an altar call, quick. But you get the idea? You can do it. But we have to do it with the right heart, with the right spirit. But then we can also glorify God by service. Now we go back to Haggai. Remember Haggai chapter 1, verse 8? He was told, go up in the mountains and get wood and bring it back to build. Uh-huh. You see, things we do are glorifying God. So the sidewalk work that was done, the new steps back here that was done, the windows that were painted, so many things that so many people do. This, you see, is glorifying God. We don't think of it that way, but that's why I'm preaching this message, to make us aware of it. Now, when you ladies are down in the kitchen, it's just doing dishes. No, it isn't. It's serving God, and that brings glory to Him. Get the idea? That's why one of the reasons why we need to be doing things for the Lord and serving the Lord. All right. In conclusion, don't you always like to hear that? I know I always do. In conclusion, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In all ways glorify Him as a Christian, as a citizen, as a husband, glorify Him as a wife. As a son or a daughter, glorify God. as an employee or an employer, as a neighbor, glorify God. As a church member, glorify God. In every conceivable way, bring honor and submission to the God of our salvation. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for the great grace that you've provided for us. And we are thankful, Father, that we have your word to instruct us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in the message, I referred to the fact that we are a sinner and we're saved by the grace of God. And we're going to sing page 225. This is the song that came to my mind when I was preparing that part of the message. Page 225, Only a Sinner.
Boosting, excluding.
Pastor.
Yes, sir. All right, it's only going to take a few moments here, but I have an amount of money that I need voted in that we just couldn't do without a full church vote. So we gave notice, and basically, Brother Dennis Denno, who runs Church Bible Publishers, had a heart attack on Mother's Day. It was a mild one, but he had to have a quadruple bypass. And I've noticed that our mission budget has quite a bit of money in it right now. And I thought that it would be good if we sent him $500 for him and his wife, okay? So do I have anyone who would make a motion that we send? All right, Chris makes that motion. Anyone second it? Ruth Ann seconds that motion, all right? So then all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? You can pay it yourself. All right, carried by acclamation. All right, so with that, Father, I thank you very much now for the services we had in the house of God today and how gracious you've been to us. And may we take to heart the message we just heard and bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his Father. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I keep hitting the home button.